Hello, Elsie.
What is up, Jess?
What part of your... Oh, my God, and that cackle. What crawled up your business? What crawled up your lame business today, Elsie?
I don't know.
Elsie's all hyped up. You know why? Because it's 3:30 and not noon when we normally record, so she may be a little weirder different times of the day, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a different time. Yes. Woo! Yes. And also, it's Monday, you guys. So I think that we should be clear about that, guys. Sometimes we're time shifted. So this is, you guys are not going to get, we're recording a week ahead of when you guys are going to hear. Yeah. So if we don't address things that happen in the week before, it's just because we recorded before.
So before we get started, I want to address what happened with episode 134. It was put up last Monday, and then
the Monday before that,
whenever it was put up,
yes,
the beginning of the show focused a little bit on the women's rally, and I sort of had a bit of an impatient reaction to the idea that women's rally was a good example of white privilege, which doesn't mean that I didn't agree. It just meant that I was a little sad that we got it wrong again. And then the conversation went for about a half hour and included some other things that I personally said. Elsie and I were discussing some, you know, issues about Black Lives Matter and being in sort of a generation that hasn't seen a lot of protests and rallies. And pretty much everything I said was a perfect example of white privilege and how, you know, I'm probably not educated on all the things that a person without white privilege would have. And so consequently, some of the stuff I said or didn't say hurt some people's feelings. And I don't ever want that. I don't ever want the show. I mean, even if my... It probably sounds weird coming from me to hear me say I don't ever want to hurt someone's feelings, because I know I can be a little ranty and I know I'm very opinionated. I don't do it because I think it makes good radio, although it might. I do it because I do feel strongly about the things. However, when it comes to race and civil rights, I feel very strongly that every single person in this country and really in the world should have civil rights regardless of whatever color or sexuality or decisions or even crappy personality traits they may have. So I didn't want to have said anything that would indicate otherwise. And I felt like people listening to the things I said about being frustrated about being white or being white privileged or not being able to know when to consider the other and when not, I know it was hurtful to people because they told me so. And so I pulled it down before anyone else could hear it because 700 people heard it before I had a chance to take it down. And including the person whose post that Elsie and I were discussing about the women's rally. And she's a friend, and I certainly wouldn't want to hurt her or anyone listening who's friends with her. You know, so I pulled it down. And then I think before you hear this episode, we will have taken out the parts that we know were hurtful and put back the rest of the episode. So if you haven't heard it, you can probably re-download it if you'd like to. Again, it's episode 134. And we do talk about some other important things in there. But I just want to be clear again, and this will probably come up later in today's show, that, you know, regardless of what I say or how I sound, and let's just use me for everybody, including our beloved president, I think until you know the person's entire story, their background, their, you know, and their point of view, taking one thing they say or that you might hear out of context and therefore judging that person and labeling them something like racist or homophobe isn't just unfair. It's ridiculous. And then once you have that label on someone, it's impossible for them to defend themselves. So it's always best when you're in a situation, when you see or hear something that you don't like that someone else has said, to maybe keep your mind open and wait for the rest of the story, because people are so ready to be enraged without caring about the other side of the story. And it is damaging to our psyches, I think. You get everyone all riled up. Often it's not for the reason you think. There's drama, there's hurt feelings, and there's tears, and none of that really needs to be necessary if you just give the other person a chance to speak, or in my case, listen to what I actually said, which was that I'm obviously the opposite of those things, that I care very much about those people and all people. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say. Elsie's very quiet because she's waiting for me to end this. I just want to say you can go back and listen to it, and that I'm really sorry if I hurt or offended anyone. It would never, ever, ever be my intention. That's all.
Very, very well said.
It was a little repetitive, but I feel like we got the point.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for your...
Awkward.
Awkward. cookies, t-shirts, puppies. Uber thank has you, an Elsie. App. No, I'm just kidding. So let's do some news that this time is brought to you by podcast websites.
If you are new to having a show, if you're frustrated with your podcast website or your podcast host right now, podcast websites is an amazing solution. You can find them at podcastwebsites.com. Everything is built in. It's completely integrated podcast hosting, statistics, website, all the things. It publishes to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. It will give you the RSS feed, same as a normal podcast host. But in addition, you have the benefit of it's built on WordPress. So it's very similar to a WordPress backend. And then also the front end has very nice drag and drops and templates. So you get a really snazzy website and all your podcast hosting for a low monthly price. Check it out, podcastwebsites.com. The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news. On to the Uber, which I think we pulled this. I don't know when you pulled this article, but did you know that as of like last night, the CEO of Uber quit or got fired?
I think it was the president. Yeah, it's the president of Uber.
Not the CEO, the president.
Yeah, Jeff the president. Jones. I'm not sure. We don't remember when we were talking about this conversation of way back when. Presidents versus CEOs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just remember that I very clearly
know the difference.
So the difference between the president and the... Well, I wasn't saying that you didn't know the difference. I was saying I didn't know the difference, where I was like, president, CEO, what does that matter? Blah. So anyway,
is like sort of in charge of all the operations of things, making sure everything goes smoothly. And a president is like the face, the guy who talks to the press. Yeah. I mean, not every company has both, but like... Between you and I would be the CEO and you would be the president, because you're much more people facing and smoothing over, and I'm much more typing and ordering and getting, you know,
getting shit done.
I'm much more of like the, yeah, of like the operations manager, and you're much more of like the, let's make sure everyone's happy and all the politics are taken care of. That's more like the president.
So anyway, so it is the president, and he is quitting, or has quit, or it says is quitting is what it says, citing differences over beliefs and approach to leadership. So subtitle.
It kind of almost sounds like he's the sexist. Because if you have a difference in approach in leadership, and they're saying that Uber has a huge problem of sexism in leadership, there sounds like they're kind of blaming it on him. And if they're not, maybe internally he feels like they're blaming it on him, or it's his fault.
He was only there for 6 months. I don't think he can build a
is it?
No, it's not. No. So, yeah. But anyway, yes, he is leaving. And so basically what he said.
Back to your article.
Yeah. But let me just say what he said before we go to that. So anyway, he said, quote, "It is now clear, however, that the beliefs and approach to leadership that have guided my career are inconsistent with what I saw and experienced at Uber. And I can no longer continue as president of this ride sharing business," unquote. So 6 months ago,
he
came in.
He saw the sexism and he didn't like it.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to bring this to. So basically all the stuff that's been happening, he was seeing in his 6 months that he was there. And he finally was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. That's what I figure. But anyway, who knows?
I wonder what he saw.
I do not know. But anyway, in terms of podcasting, this is interesting. So Uber has an internal podcast. So, and it's available via the app, which is very intriguing. So basically what happens is when you as an Uber employee opens the app, they share information through podcasts or like audio. There are like voluntary driver meeting things, podcast in there where they get this information. And so basically what they do is they really just push the Uber's point of view. Then this article that I share, the title of this article from The Verge says Uber is using in-app podcasts to dissuade Seattle drivers from unionizing. So that's an interesting use of podcasts, which is why I put it up here. What do you think about...
Seems kind of manipulative.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it seems manipulative because the topic seems manipulative. Like, it seems like, why would... Like, when I read this headline, I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that they're doing this with their drivers, you know? And then I thought, well, doesn't all companies have like a culture or a belief system that we would want all of the people that work for us to align with in some way and sort of like know more about?
Yeah.
Or am I right?
But just the way it sounds is like the evil Mugatu is trying to convince all the Uber drivers to kill the president of Malaysia.
Oh, okay then.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
Oh, it's from Zoolander.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I have no idea what you're talking
about.
Did you
ever see Zoolander?
I think I kind of did.
So yeah, in Zoolander, that's the whole thing, is like the head of some modeling agency tries to brainwash models to kill for political reasons.
Well, see, well, there's that. But then I was thinking about, you know, there's been other companies. There's been other companies like Lululemon, the sort of like high-end yoga clothing company, whose CEO, I think the first, at least the first one that was back in the day that kept getting in trouble, had a specific sort of type of worldview that he wanted to impart to the majority of the people that worked for him. And so part of the training that you needed to go to if you wanted to be a Lululemon employee at a certain level, I think, I'm not sure if it was everyone, was to go to Landmark forums and or like Landmark trainings. And that's a bit of indoctrination to some degree, to have to sort of be put in this place, like if you wanted to move up in the ladder. And there were things that were expected of you too as a Lululemon employee, like you needed to go to like work out. Like that was part of the scoop. Like you had to, like they gave you free, usually they'll buy your either yoga class passes for you or gym memberships for you or whatever. And you kind of choose, and then they bought it for you and they expected you to go work out. That was part of the scoop.
As long as they give me time in the day to do so, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is, yeah. So there's like positive, like you could see that that's good, but then at what level does it start to, I don't know. And I guess you could, you know, now
I mean, does that mean you don't hire people who have a heart murmur?
No, I think that.
Or who are in a wheelchair because they can never. I mean, technically, there could be discrimination.
Yeah, no, everybody could work out. It doesn't matter. I mean, as long as you're, yeah, if you're differently abled in any way, shape, or form, you could still work out. It's just not going to be at the local yoga class.
Right? Okay, tell that to Christopher Reeve.
Well, you could still do it. Like, it depends. If you want to do what you want to do, there's different
ways to do
it. Although,
apparently, he could still get it done in the bedroom, so what do I know?
Oh, my gosh, Jess.
That's what I heard.
Ay, ay, ay,
what?
Well,
what did I do? Oh my God, we can't talk about Christopher Reeve and what? Is that disrespectful now to Superman fanatics? Is that what I've done? What have I done? What have I done now?
No,
I
just
know.
Was thinking, I just felt, I don't know. I don't know.
So, well, he has passed on, you know.
I know, that's what I
so
wanted.
So is the wife. Dana passed on too. They both died. She died 2 years later of cancer also, lung cancer. It's very right. sad. But, I mean, I'm just saying, she said that they had... Listen, I'm only alluding to the fact that in many interviews, she said they had a fully physical and intimate relationship.
Yes.
That's all. That's all I
okay,
said.
Okay, all right. I just didn't know how that applied to, like,
such a
Uber
prude.
And the company. Uber and the company.
I don't remember
podcasts.
Now, but it now, did see, a minute ago. I don't remember.
So
oh, Lululemon, because we were talking about differently abled workout people, and I was
yes,
proving
so I was
your
saying,
point, which was, is that everyone can work out regardless of their physical limitations.
Yes, exactly. And so I was just saying,
I'll never do it again.
That, in like, So it's a positive thing. So that's very intriguing. I would like to get information from my company. It just seems a little bit weird that I guess maybe it was just the way that The Verge positioned this as a title that it made it seem kind of dirty and ucky, which is that it's using it, you know, using these podcasts to dissuade Seattle drivers from unionizing. And I'm not sure if that's exactly what they're doing because I don't have access to that podcast. Therefore, I cannot hear if it's like propaganda. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I have no idea.
Can we go to the next news item?
Yes, we can. Go.
I feel like we went too long on that one.
Yeah.
What is Apple's next chapter in podcasting, Elsie?
Yeah. So this is actually an article that was put up on the Facebook group for the podcast movement group. I saw it and I didn't read it. And then Rhoda, our own lovely Rhoda Sommer from What Healthy Couples Know That You Don't, she sent me a link to this in Messenger as well. And I was like, oh, I remembered I need to read this. So Jason Snell was commenting on when Eddie Q was on the Code Media Conferences, which was put on by Recode, and he was asked about podcasts. And basically his response was something like, yeah, we're working on that. It was like, that was basically all he said. And then everybody kind of went to like, what does that mean? And that wasn't very much information. And was it dismissive? Or thank you, Apple, for giving us absolutely zero information about this. So what Jason Snell did is he speculated, being the Apple pundit that he is, about what exactly Eddie Q could have possibly meant, because a lot of people wanted more, particularly people who are looking to get more data. So this article that you guys can actually read in the show notes, my favorite part about it is that the majority of people are always requesting Apple data. They want to get the subscriber counts. They want to know like when people drop off when they're listening to their podcast. They want to know all of the stuff that they can't right now. That's like a huge thing. In fact, so huge that somebody broke their embargo or whatever to not talk from when they were part of a super covert meeting with Apple people. Some of the podcasters said we didn't get what we wanted. And that was a huge thing that Jess and I talked about way back. So Jason has this to say about it. In terms of a speculation, he says what Apple won't do is provide a lot of user data. And this is exactly what he says that a lot of podcasting startups want. And so this is what he has to say as a podcaster. Consider me skeptical. While I'm frustrated by the lack of detail and consistency about podcast listenership, I've got a podcast that regularly hits 30,000 downloads by one measurement and 20,000 by a different one. I've seen that the flood of user data has done to the world of web publishing. Most web data is used to justify reducing ad rates and increasing the invasiveness of advertising. Besides, if an advertiser is happy with the result it receives on a podcast that claims 20,000 listeners, doesn't that mean that the advertiser is paying the right price? If it turned out that the same podcast only got 10,000 listeners for a regular episode, it wouldn't change the result. In fact, you could argue it shows that podcasts are that much more effective at connecting with an audience. But someone else might use that data to argue for a 50% rate cut for the podcast instead. More data doesn't generally improve the quality or price of advertising. So that's why I like him, because I don't want to have that data from my perspective, and especially from the advertising perspective. Do you agree with me, Jess, or not?
I do. I do. I totally agree.
But anyway, I prefer that. And he also said that what Apple might do is support paid podcast subscriptions, which I'm cool with that. It's actually not a big deal. It's sort of like providing the possibility for some podcasters to be able to offer the premium type model.
To monetize, maybe?
To monetize, yeah. Like, as in providing just the ability for an RSS feed to in some way be, maybe you have to pay in order to get all the episodes or something like that. And that it's all built into the subscription model that's already set up within the iTunes store system, which is super easy to do. In fact, I just subscribed to something myself, and it was the easiest thing to do across all of my devices. I'm a pro user on an app that I'm going to be mentioning here soon. And it was a seamless integration throughout the platform. I think that would be fantastic. And it would probably put a lot of people's other things like Patreon. That would be like a competitor, a really big competitor for Patreon, the Patreon model. Another thing that Apple might do, expand across platforms. I thought that this was really cool, like meaning the podcast app would now be part of the Windows ecosystem as well, Windows mobile, Windows mobile, that is, in Android ecosystems, because now the podcast app is really just available inside of iOS devices. So that would be kind of neato. And then another thing, the last thing he says is that what Apple would probably do, keep iterating on app and curation. So that's something that would be interesting, since they only have like a couple of people still that are, for the most part, curating all of the content that's out there, and maybe, I don't know, shifting the algorithms in some way for listeners, or I don't know, because they do have to address that at some point. So anywho, I just thought it's really interesting. So if you guys want to geek out on some of these types of things and see if he's right.
I don't know why they can't give us user data. I mean, can't we at least, I mean, it would just be awesome if podcast listeners could opt in to giving us demographic, like couldn't at the beginning of them downloading the app or somewhere in the app, opt in and let podcasters know who their audience is. It would be so helpful if they could just spend a little bit in this area. Whatever.
I think. Well, it might
womp
be.
Womp. Don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, but what's in the Apple ID? What's in your Apple ID?
I mean,
I'm just asking, like, what is
Apple
in, like,
knows everything. That's why the CIA is always trying to get in there, because they know age, they know gender, they have all our location and tracking device. They can tell you how often I go to Whole Foods. They can tell you how often I go to the bathroom. They know everything. They know everything.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah, I don't think that it's likely to happen. It's just something that they've never been.
I don't want to know how often they go to the bathroom, but I just want to know if, you know, if they also listen, you know, people who listen to She Podcast also listen to Serial. That would be helpful to me.
Yeah, and as of now, you know, that there's been a, I've had questions from people that go like, how come, usually they come into the feed, not to us, but it's like, how come, you know, when somebody subscribed to my podcast, or not even subscribe, when they come to their page in iTunes, at the bottom, it says people have also subscribed to, and they, usually the producer is complaining that the podcasts on the bottom are not the ones that should be showing up, or how come I'm not showing up when I know that people who listen to this podcast also listen to this podcast? And we really have no answer for that, because we have no idea what the algorithm around that is.
And nor will we ever, which is why they're annoying.
Exactly. But, you know, I kind of don't really care that much about that. But anyway, but you have some data that you wanted to kind of talk about here about PodTrac.
Yes. PodTrac released their 2017 ranking of all shows. However, I would like to also remind those listening that they're only measuring shows that are on the PodTrac system. So if you don't have, if your show is not on the PodTrac measurement and ranking system, first of all, you should get on there, because it does help you like land advertisers if you ever want to work with them or me or anybody. Then we know really how many downloads, how many thousands of downloads per episode your show gets. But anyway, okay. So the top 10, we have the top 10 publishers, and I know you're going to be shocked by this, but here it goes. NPR.
No.
With, I know, I know. Try not to hold on to your face so it doesn't blow off. With 35 shows. And then WNYC with 43 shows. I know, hold on, hold your seat. Hold
it's
on.
It's crazy. I can't even take
then
it.
Then This American Life / Serial, How Stuff Works, Radiotopia, CBS, New York Times. That's actually a new one, I believe.
It is. That's what they led with.
Yeah. WBUR, which I think is Chicago. The Moth, and then American Public Media.
All right.
So not as exciting of news as you probably expected, but the reason I like to draw it to our attention is because it's very annoying. It's almost like saying, here are the top publishers of She Podcasts that are in the group.
Right.
Well, if you're not in the group, you can't be
you
counted.
You can't be counted.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is a, and then they call themselves a standard measuring tool.
Right.
Which is, that's why it's annoying.
Yeah, no, but I think you're right. And actually, you know what it would be? It wouldn't be.
Like, I wouldn't call myself a standard measuring tool and then say, I'm only going to judge people who are in the Facebook group. If you're not in the Facebook group, you don't count.
Right. But what I'm saying here, because it's like, it's the label that gets you, though. Because I'm okay with having, like, the top industry rankings for She Podcasts or for You know, but it would be different if we said the top industry ranking for women who podcast. That would be disingenuous because...
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know what I mean? That would be like, right. It would just be like, women. You know, you'd be like, wait a minute. What do you mean? You know, and then all of a sudden you see like, oh, I wasn't even part of it. Oh, I see.
Yeah, not to say, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Oh, I see.
This is so annoying.
Yeah. So anyway, well, thanks for bringing it to our attention. And now we know that procasters have big big audiences.
Yay. Ta-da. I know you're shocked.
I know. Very, very shocked.
Speaking of podcasters, if you want to come and schmooze with those people, as well as your fellow peers, as well as Elsie and I, as well as every podcaster you've probably ever come in contact with, you've got to come to Podcast Movement 2017, which is this summer at the end of August. If you go to podcastmovement.com, you can already register and get your tickets and 15% off if you use the promo code SHEPODCASTS with an S.
She podcasts with an S and all together. So she podcasts with an S.
Yes.
Yay.
Not two words. But yeah, go to podcastmovement.com. It's in Anaheim, which is where Disneyland is. And I heard it's a beautiful hotel, so that should be fun.
It's going to be awesome. And we're going to finish up our little bit news here talking about this interesting thing. We talked about this, I believe, in the last episode, Jess, because I may be wrong, when we were talking about the Richard Simmons thing, and then you started to talk about Serial and how maybe like the influence of some of these shows could be positive. And then I said, well, Adnan Syed, like he wasn't necessarily found guilty, or like it wasn't that he was innocent, you know, the guy from Serial. It was just that the story was just put out there to see that, you know, his court proceedings and the way that the investigation went wasn't perhaps the best, but it wasn't a judgment on that. But this is cool. The article is from Rolling Stone and it says how Up and Vanished, so that's the name of the podcast, helped solve cold murder case. Payne Lindsay decided to make a podcast from the coldest case he could find, and now two arrests have been finally made from a 12-year-old murder. How cool is that? So anyway,
that's amazing.
It's insane. So this all happened in Georgia. So this producer guy decided that he was like, I believe he was a documentary filmmaker before, and he wanted to make something that was interesting and unique in the audio world. And he decided, hey, I'm going to go and look at the cold murder cases in Georgia. And I'm going to see if anything like jumps out at me. And he came across this specific one that he was like, oh, this looks like a really interesting thing. This woman, Tara Grinstead, was like a beauty queen type of person. She was a school teacher. And all of a sudden she vanished and her home was completely closed. Like it was like no, there was no break-ins. Everything was still at home. The only thing that was missing was, I think, her keys and her wallet or something like that. And then they found, like, one of those gloves that, you know, you put on so that you don't leave fingerprints type of thing in her yard. But there was nothing else. And then nobody ever heard from her again. Like, there was nothing. So this case went cold. And it actually started to get a lot more legs. And they ended up finding the person. But what's so weird about it is that the guy who actually was arrested was almost, I think he was nowhere in the original case file, nor was he anybody that of any kind of interest in the podcast either. It just happened that just through conversations, they found the dude.
It's amazing.
You guys have to read this article. It's fascinating. Fascinating. So link in the show notes.
Yay.
And
speaking of show notes.
Speaking of show notes,
terrible segue because he doesn't do our show notes.
No,
but
he doesn't.
We want to tell you about and give a shout out and a clapperoonie to our beloved editor, John.
Yes.
Hi, John.
Yes.
Thank you for being such a wonderful friend and a wonderful editor and who sprung into action when I had podcasts that needed to be deleted and cut up and chopped. This last couple weeks. So if you need an editor who's also your BFF, visit audioeditingsolutions.com.
Yes, of course. And now we're getting ready for some tool tips that are sponsored by Cast Plus. Cast Plus is like this really amazing open marketplace that connects advertisers with podcasts that are relevant to their brand. And, you know, you get a chance to kind of make buddies inside of this place and see who you want to work with. What's really cool is that if you sign up with what is it, PodFusion, use the promo code PodFusion when you join the platform, and you'll pay no commission on your first ad campaign if it so happens. So you guys go check out cast.plus. So now we're on to some tool tips.
Elsie's tool tip.
All right, dude, what is this?
This is actually Jessica's tool tip.
I know.
So over the weekend, I went to go see Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah. I saw the pictures. So cute.
By the way, your children must.
Oh, really?
You must take your family to see this. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because it is not just a movie that is like the Disney story is really only 25% of it. The singing and the sets and the like, it was like the most amazing Broadway show I've ever seen. And I've been to many Broadway shows, and it was like being inside of it because it wasn't on a stage. It was even better.
Wow. Okay.
It was amazing. So when I get to the theater, I realized that, like, okay, because I always Fandango my tickets, especially because I don't know about you, but our theater now has limited seating because they turned it into a theater where you recline.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Not really, but that's okay.
Does your theater have this thing now where, like, they totally renovated the theater and now each chair is a full-on, like, Lazy Boy recliner? They ripped out, like, the old seating and now every single chair is a recliner, so now rather than have like 100 seats, really you can only fit like 40 people in there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I have to Fandango, and even then I have to suffer trying to get 4 seats in a row. It's almost impossible. So anyway, I Fandango the tickets, and then I get there and I realize as I'm standing in line for the concessions that there's like a walk-up line for people using something called atomtickets.com, atomtickets.com. It is completely not podcasting related, but oh well. Basically, not only can you buy your tickets through this app and on the website, but as you check out, you can reserve your concessions.
Oh.
So, in other words, let's say I wanted to go to a movie on Saturday. I would buy the tickets for me and Scott. And then the next process is pick your seats. And then the next process is, can we reserve any concessions for you? I would like a large popcorn with butter. I would like candy. I would like soda. I would like nachos. And then you get there and it's just waiting for you.
That's nuts. Then you can just like grab
it's
it, go sit
crazy.
Down.
Crazy.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Then you show them your phone and you go sit down. It's like, I mean, come on. It's not exactly a tool tip, but it's like the most amazing thing. Like I was
that
just like,
cool.
Life could be a breeze. Shaboom, shaboom.
Wow. You know?
So I got all excited. So I'm just saying like, and then I asked the kid when I checked in, I was like, what's the difference between this and Fandango? And he was like, nothing, except that you can do the food part. And I was like, right on. If it's just like Fandango, you have to, I think.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool. So you guys, if anybody takes up Jess on, you know, using that. And my only concern with that is that I'm not sure everybody uses it. At least because I go into little tiny movie theaters and I don't think they're that like into it.
Well,
you
so
know
what's
what
your
I mean?
Movie theater? Let me look for it. Let's see if I can look for it.
I don't what's even this? Know. Give me a break.
Hold on.
You're not going to find
Wait,
it.
Do you go to Asheville ones or no? Is it too far?
We went to the Hendersonville ones. Those are the ones. Because there's no way. We'd have to drive into town for like 60. Every time we go into town, it's like 60 minutes long.
All right. So if I wanted to see Kong, I would go to the Regal Biltmore in Asheville. Thetford Street.
Okay. All right.
There's also Epic Theaters of Hendersonville. And there's also the Carolina Cinemark.
Okay. Maybe the Epic ones. I think that's where we went before. Maybe that's like, okay. Well, cool beans.
Oh, wait. It does say ticketing's not available.
Oh.
There are some where it's available, but not that one. But I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd use it, but it's just that a lot of the places
I'm amazed
that we go,
it's
I'm
in
like,
Delaware.
Oh.
Well, I mean, next time you go to a movie, I would look just on the website before I download the app because you're right. I mean, I was amazed it was even in Wilmington because we, like, there's stuff that, like, they keep saying, like, everyone's excited about, like, Fresh Direct. Oh, I Fresh Directed to your house. Well, over the Pennsylvania line, which, by the way, is 10 minutes from my house, you can Fresh Direct stuff to here. But if I live here, I can't get an account yet because it's Delaware.
Oh, that's weird.
I was like, you guys are a bunch of cheeseheads. Thanks.
That's
so, yeah, it's annoying because when Emily passed away, people Fresh Directed me stuff.
Right.
But then when I went to go fresh direct my own stuff, I couldn't.
Oh, so that's weird.
I know. It's bizarre.
Oh, well. So now we get a little bit of movies, and now we're moving on to my tool app that I'm going to probably report a little bit more on. But currently my latest app obsession is called Bear, B-E-A-R, the Bear app. It's really? A writing app.
Wait.
And you can see the link in the show notes. It's a free app. So it's a free text app, like basically plain text for both iOS and Mac. And it syncs seamlessly from one thing to the next, although you do have to be a pro user to have it sync. So if you don't have it sync, then you have like this, you can still download them. They just won't talk to each other. And what's the reason that I'm using this app is because my workflow is, I do a lot of online stuff, as you guys know, a lot of social media things, a lot of posting, a lot of commenting, a lot of conversation that happens in social media, and more like, and also emails. And usually what tends to happen is as I'm in the middle of crafting a deep response of some kind or very complex response, I am for sure I will be interrupted 99.9% of the time. And so if I leave my computer and I forget that I'm in the middle of doing something like this, I will refresh the Facebook page. I will, you know, shut down the computer. I will do, or somebody will bump me and I will go to a different browser and something like that. And I have lost countless of responses that I totally put my sweat over to give you guys the best responses possible. So the Bear app is really meant to be an easy, accessible place that is aesthetically pleasing to me to write in. So it's like a beautiful environment. It's lightweight. And it's not for me to write blog posts. It's me to just simply craft these answers deep, you know, like long form text messages or emails or message, anything like that. And it's been working fantastic. Because the other thing too is that I could start the like thing and then finish sending it while I'm on the road because the app is on my phone. It also has tags, which I think I'm going to love, because what happens is I have in the past used a different app to do this. But the problem with it is that it's hard for me to find when I have already addressed an issue. Like one issue that comes up a lot is how come, you know, labeling things explicit or not explicit. People are constantly asking that question in She Podcast, and it's a unique and in-depth answer that I think that needs to get out there that most people don't know. And so they go like, well, is it explicit if I use the word ass, or should I mark it explicit if they use the F word one time? And, you know, there are a lot of things that come up with questions like that that are above and beyond. So I've answered that question. So anyway, the Bear app has tags. So what I could do is I could very easily tag it, you know, FB response, you know, hashtag FB response, hashtag explicit. And then I can immediately search for anything that's tagged explicit or FB response. Ooh. Or both. And then I can really quickly find those answers that I have already pre-typed inside of that. And so that's actually
that's
what called
awesome.
Me to it. Yeah, so it, and you can link the notes. So you can start a note and then it can link to a different note, because there's a lot of things
just
that I
just based on the hashtag?
Just based on the hashtags, yeah, inside that's of the amazing. App. And the reason I like that too is because I also do a lot of, like, when we do Libsyn, we do podcasting quick starts every month. And what I'm in the chat all the time answering questions, and then
you can just pull up your standard stuff.
Exactly. And it's really easy for me to find it really fast. And if somebody asks a question that I've already pre-answered in the past, I can very easily search for it and paste it in there, because I can retype it because I know the answer, but it's really just the search function that I'm like, oh yes. So anyway, you guys check it out. I subscribe to it. Again, it's a subscription model that these guys are using to monetize their app because it's free. It's beautifully designed. It's $14.99 a year to subscribe for the Pro. And with the Pro, you get to export in a lot of different way, like PDF, HTML, like all kinds of stuff like that. And you also get the ability of syncing. Like, and it's the in-time syncing, I think that's, I'm not sure what the Apple names it really, where you start like typing and you can leave the app open and that it immediately shows up on the iOS device and you can immediately go there. So it's like in the moment, you don't have to wait for things to sync up, which is awesome. Anywho, Shall we move on to the Weird and Wild Show of the Week, which is sponsored by Miss Happiness Mama, a lovely little podcast, and more by Miss Heather. And she has just an incredible gift for bringing mommies together that it's really just about having mindful mamas consciously creating their happiness lives. You guys should definitely check it out. You can go over to facebook.com/groups/happinessmama. She has a nice little group there. Or you can go straight to happinessmama.com or, of course, subscribe to the podcast because it's so amazing. Yes, thank you so much for Heather.
Yay, Heather. Whoop, whoop.
Weird and Wild Show of the Week.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild. Show of the Week.
Boom. So I have an interest now. I'm going to just drop this here to you guys because I think that one of the ways that we can grow podcasting is to educate our newest people, our new generations with our kids, having our kids listen to podcasts, our teenagers possibly find a way to express themselves via podcast. So I found this podcast that was just released. I found it on the MTV.com website, actually. The title for this episode, for this article is Introducing Rookie, a podcast hosted by Tavi Gevinson. And I'm not in any teenage girl things, but I do know that Rookie is at least according from what I'm reading here, Rookie is a magazine by and for teenagers and their cohorts of any age. I was 15 when I founded our site, RookieMag.com, in 2011, because I couldn't find a publication for young people that respected its readers' intelligence, honestly addressed what they were going through, and had actual teens writing for it. In the years since, millions of people continue to return to Rookie for emotional guidance and artistic inspiration. So it looks like this is going to be an awesome podcast for its ladies, discussing creativity, feminism, pop culture, love, bodies, poetry, candy, and more. So if you have a... I know if you have a teenage girl, introduce them to Rookie. I think this will be really great to get that conversation going. Positive media in their ears. This isn't anything that they're going to be looking at and thinking that they have to be just like her. They can just listen and inspire themselves through their ears and be who they are. So, yay. We got Jessica's Pet Peeve, sponsored by Team Podcasts.
Oh, dear. Here we go. So this section is sponsored by Christy Hauser of Team Podcast. If you don't know teampodcast.com, and if you're starting a podcast or if you're struggling with overwhelm in your current podcast, you need to go see teampodcast.com right now because she helps with show notes. She helps with social media. She helps with scheduling. She helps with editing. Their team helps with everything. So, if you need help with any of the things, if you feel like you're doing too much stuff, if you feel like if you could just outsource one piece of it, your life would be so much better. This is how you're going to do that. Teampodcast.com. And now for my pet peeve. Here we go.
Jessica's pet peeve.
Okay.
Okay.
So after this whole debacle happened about the episode, I got kind of like pissy about Facebook and I started wondering, and I'm still contemplating whether or not I want to quit Facebook. Like, I've never in 10 years ever considered quitting Facebook. I've always sung Facebook's praises. I love everything about Facebook. But once this happened, I kind of looked at my other, like, I've been looking at posts on Facebook lately and looking in my newsfeed and feeling dissatisfied probably since right before the presidential election. And I realized after this happened, I can now distinctly say what's bothering me about Facebook. Here it is. I feel like when I first started, it was like always like a trying to amuse one another, like trying to talk about our day, asking if anyone else relates to what you're going through, telling little fun stories about yourself. And I feel like it has been relegated to bragging, bitching, or bossing people around. And I don't like any of those things.
Right. You encapsulated that very, very well.
Thank you. I'm saying like when I did a long time ago, I did a like sort of like how to be more personal on Facebook. And my rule was don't talk about race. Don't talk about politics. Don't talk about sex. Don't talk about anything medical that's disgusting. Like you can talk about like heart surgery, but don't post pictures of your stitches. You can talk about no gastrointestinal. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like people adhered to that for a really long time. And now I feel like it's sort of becoming not this. and that people are posting a lot about religion, a lot about politics. I'm still happy to not see that people have gas or what their favorite sexual position is. But I'm just saying, like, it's starting to be broken and people are only using it to tell me what to do, complain about something, or brag about how freaking fantastic they are in their life is. And I hate all three of those. So now I don't know what to do. My pet peeve this week is just Facebook. Just Facebook.
Just Facebook as it is.
Just Facebook right as it is. And I challenge you to go on your newsfeed right now and find me a post that isn't one of those three things.
Yeah, you know
In
what?
Fact,
you're
I'm
right.
I'm going to look myself.
Okay, what did you say? What were the things? One of them's like bragging. One of them's complaining.
Bragging, bitching, bossing.
Bragging, bitching, bossing. Okay, bragging, bitching, bossing. Let's see.
Oh, and that's not even including ads, which are
actually, you know what? I kind of like totally digging the ads lately. But
yeah,
that's
they're
a total discussion.
They're trying hard.
Yeah, because they're trying to get them into like this stuff. I've been getting awesome ads. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I would totally be interested in that. But you know why I think that I'm getting that is because I have also said, don't show me this again from a lot of the other ads that I was getting. Like I've been actively saying, I don't want to see an ad about this. I don't want to see a bad, I don't want this in my feed. And I think that it's learning, I guess. No, I actually found one. Actually, I found one like
you
fairly,
did?
Yeah.
So I have someone talking about they had great weather on their trip, which isn't necessarily bragging, but it could fall in that category. A photo from a birthday party. All right. That's kind of nice.
I found
John complaining about how tired he is. Diane Daniels on spring break with her girlfriend, I guess her wife. I mean, I'm starting to see a lot of pictures, so now I feel like a guilty jerk for saying this. But, I mean, I think you get the point. Like, in general, it's just starting to sway on me. Like, I miss when people were funny and interesting. And I'm not sure if that means I have to start blocking out people that don't fall in this category or stop friending people who I just have a lot of people. Like my rule for friending someone if they decided they want to be my friend is if I have enough people in common with them, I'll accept and just see if we interact. But there's actually that's stupid because in no way can you easily go back and unfriend them if you don't interact.
Yeah.
Which is where I am now.
That's the issue there. Yep. Correct.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you, though. That's a good pet peeve. It's kind of annoying. Although lately, I've just been checking out two different feeds on Facebook because all I do is like just get my I just look at two different people's feeds and that's it.
That's really? Mine?
Actually, they're both political ones.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
And that's it, because I like her commentary and I like his funky news stuff that he's putting on. It's like a girl and a guy, and I just go in there and I look at those two, and then I'm done. I read all of their posts, because I'm not interested in anything else. I'm not dissing the people that I love. This isn't about, like, I'm not interested in you. I'm just saying, I usually just go in there. It's kind of like, I just kind of want to get the scoop on what's happening politically really quick. Because you know why, Jess? I'm in Facebook all day.
I know. How do you stand it?
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I do not go to my news feed. I go to She Podcasts or I go to the Libsyn page. Because I'm on there all day. And how horrible is it that where you work, you also have your friends and you also get your news and you also watch videos and you also look at people's pictures? Like, it feels like I have no space. So
I don't know where else to go.
Right. What I'm saying. And so I think that I just
does that mean I'm just no longer social?
You're asking the wrong person, Jess, because I would be unsocial for the rest of my life if it wasn't for you.
What is a person who's disillusioned with social media to do? I mean, it actually is very good timing because I leave in 2 days for Social Media Marketing World. And if you can't be inspired there's just no hope for you.
Right. Anymore. So you're going to have to report back what that happens, which is why we're recording right now. And we are going quite a bit over today. So
So we'll just wrap it all up.
Actually, are we? I can't even
rappity
tell.
Rappity-pappity. Well, this says we're only an hour, but...
Yeah, it's actually...
I'm sure it's 45 minutes too much. And you'll notice that I'm like... You're reading the news and I'm just sitting here like, I don't want to say anything snarky, anything offensive. I'm just going to let Elsie talk and smile and look pretty, even though it's audio.
Oh, smile and look pretty. How does that? I guess that's what silence is like in audio. Smiling and looking pretty is silence in audio.
Exactly. That was my point. Yes. Right,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's like, but what's the alternative? Bossing, bitching, bragging.
Yeah, dude.
I don't want any more bitching about me. Can't have any more bitching about me on Facebook. I didn't like that. I don't like that. I don't want to be in that position again. People can bitch about me behind my back all day long. Feel free. I don't care. I'm not interested. But don't publicly accuse me of something so foul. And don't, I mean, and this, and there's another person that separately posted and bashed our ability to be coaches, even. You missed that beauty.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's a, I gotta tell you, it's a,
I mean, it was crazy.
People are fascinating.
Oh, people.
I just, that's, you know, but really, is it Facebook that's the pet peeve, or is it the whole culture of constantly getting angry about everything?
Well, you know,
I don't want to know anymore what pisses people off. I'm not interested. You know, it used to be a cocktail party. You don't go into a cocktail party and start announcing everything that's ever angered you. Why is that happening on Facebook now? Why can't we go back to the cocktail party where you go in, tell a joke, learn about other people, and shut the hell up?
Because it's like, we've talked about this before. It's a totally new world. People don't know how to behave. And the thing
is, I don't like it.
There are no physical cues. No, there are no physical cues. I mean, I kept thinking, like, could you imagine, like, okay, there's so with the She Podcast, because the She Podcast is growing a lot, the group, you know, the group is like every day, it's insane how many people are asking to go on there. And it's kind of hard to police the people who go in there and are self-promoting or are doing crazy things I think it's too much. I can't even speak.
Something got deleted that something was called to my attention today because someone in our group was mean to someone else in our group. Did you delete that?
I didn't delete that. I didn't know.
I will paraphrase this person's alert to me.
All right.
Which was, I'm trying not to be a jerk. I want to throw down with this girl who is just being obnoxious to an obvious podcast noob. It's a post from X. And why is just, I can't. I just can't. I don't know how much you guys police, but I'm getting twitchy.
Okay.
This was, of course, at 2 in the morning, though.
Of course.
And then now at 2 p.m. is when I see it, like 12 hours later, right? So right. I go, what is it? Tell me who, where? And she was like, oh, it's deleted now. Oh. And I said, good. And she said, it was totally obnoxious. Somebody asked about Zencastr, and the person responded saying she would only ever do, like, things in person in you know, she was just she was judging however we all podcast differently.
Right.
She was being a little judgy about it. And if she doesn't want to, she's not dreaming big enough.
Oh, gosh. Like,
show me the post. Like, I got so angry.
Yeah, that's not the kind of stuff. Where is it? No, you know, that's the kind that that would have made me so upset if I saw that.
Thought you deleted it. Maybe she deleted it.
Maybe they did it, or maybe you know what would be really made me sad? If whoever posted that deleted it because they felt like bad about themselves. That would really piss me off.
Why?
Because, you know, whoever posted it. Whoever posted and said about Zencastr and somebody else, and then they were like, well, I guess I'm not going to post anything in here anymore cuz this lady just my face.
She's a pretty, I don't know how frequent, but she seems to post enough where, I mean, she's new, so she has lots of questions.
Oh, okay. All right. But you
none
know
of
what?
Them are stupid questions, but.
And I don't ever think there's a stupid question, really. But I do think that there are really randomly crazy posts that I'm not particularly happy with. Is what I couldn't even get it out earlier, where somebody will be posting affirmations, like just random pictures of the world is meant to be lived. Period.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And you're like, well, okay.
That's so random.
Well, I know. And it's just like, you look around and they're like these affirmations about life and spirit. And not that believe me, I am an affirmation believer and I am a spiritual being. But I just don't see how that matters inside a She Podcast. Like, I'm like, I don't want to see that here.
I know.
Am I being
judgy?
But
I just don't want to see what piss. I just don't want to see what's pissing everybody off all the time. Anyway.
Okay.
I don't want to know why you're angry all the time. Why do you have to make everyone else angry? Why can't you keep it to yourself? Why don't you post what makes you happy? Why don't you post what makes you amused?
I'd rather see
for
that.
For once.
That's what I would
what
like to see.
What amuses you?
What's funny? I just funny? Put that on my Twitter feed. I love blackberries. Totally love them. They're so
They yummy. Are delicious. If you get the right ones, fantastic.
So, I'm like so into raspberries right now. Blackberries and I'm like I can't even get enough.
Sometimes they're bitter though.
They are, but I'm so
You know, when I was a kid, I used to have blackberries in my backyard. My very first house, not a townhouse, but a real house we moved into when I was 4, and the whole backyard was full of blackberries. It was fantastic.
Yummy.
I cannot tell you how many shirts I ruined eating them though. Cuz I was a kid. Shoving blackberries in my face, making a big mess.
Oh my God. Anyway,
we're over
I think
an
we
hour,
should,
but if anyone
wait,
would like yes. to answer what happened to Facebook and how we can collectively restore its goodness and beauty,
yes.
let me know.
Yes, totally.
And on that positive note, let's hit it and quit it.
Let's hit it and quit it. And you guys, you can always send us feedback over at feedback@shepodcast.com. You can attach a voice feedback. We will play it on the show for you. You yes, can also use SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/shepodcast. Or if you have the SpeakPipe app, you can definitely just search SheePodcast and we'll be right there for you to converse with us. So we look forward to hearing from Jess on the next episode. After she comes
back. Don't forget
back
to get your cake. It's for podcast
yes.
movement.
Yes, yes.
She Podcast. Coupon code.
Coupon code. Woohoo. Yay. All right.
Bye, guys. Love you.
Mean it.